Do you love me? A simple question posed three times to Simon Peter by the risen Jesus. With each positive response from Peter, Jesus calls him to action, feed my sheep. We conclude our series on the thought-provoking things Jesus said with, do you love me? This time on Crossing the Goal. As we conclude our series on Jesus Said, the thought-provoking things that Jesus said in Scripture, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team one more time. The Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. Curtis Martin, who is President and Founder of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, FOCUS for short. And our All-Pro wide receiver and former NFL coach, our coach on Crossing the Goal, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, this has been an incredible series. We're concluding the series with, do you love me? Now, this is the question that Jesus asked Simon Peter, the risen Jesus. He's on the beach and he's ready to serve them breakfast, Curtis.
He is. It's a very poignant moment. And he surprises them by being at the beach. And we're told just a simple little aspect that he's sitting by a charcoal fire. But for those of us who have been reading the scriptures, this echoes the last time we were around a charcoal fire and Jesus was with Peter. And Peter denied him three times. And now Jesus is with him around a charcoal fire and he asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? And he's allowing Peter to be restored and healed and forgiven through this process. And it's a very, very powerful moment in Peter's life.
Think about this. Three times Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times. But guys, he's asking us, Danny, son of Dorothy and Paper, do you love me?
Yeah.
Now, do we love him unconditionally,
yeah,
even more than our family? That's the question.
Yeah, you're right. That is the big question. And then Jesus shows us, he worked so hard to say, this is what love is. It's not just a feeling. It's not just romantic love. But Jesus, this is one of my favorite passages here from John. I want to read quickly, 14:30. He's with his apostles. One of the last times he's meeting with them, toward the end of their ministry, his ministry, he said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. The devil's coming after the Lord. He says, he has no power over me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We want to talk a little bit more about that in the game plan.
Yeah. And all the shows that we've done in this series of the things that Jesus said really lead up to this show, this point, do you love me? We have a game plan with Curtis and Peter up next here on Crossing the Goal.
We're back, we're in the game plan, and we're discussing, do you love me? I'm Curtis Martin, I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we are looking at this very poignant question that Jesus asks of Simon Peter.
Yeah.
And it's a key thing. And before I go on, I just got to say, you dress great.
Really,
I mean, really, when you think about it, I just love the way you put your stuff together. Anyway,
team colors.
Absolutely.
These are team colors.
So, but seriously, this is a critical question that is asked by our Lord of the first Pope. But it's a question he asks of each of us, but why is it such an important question?
Why is it critical? Because the revelation that the apostles proclaimed fundamentally, and that Jesus revealed, is God is love. The fundamental question for the human race, they could know something about God, that God exists, but who is this God and what is God like? Jesus came and he answered the fundamental questions. God is love. That's the heart of God. So the great passage we've all heard many, many times in our lives, John 3:16, for God so loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So God's initiating. Christianity is the religion that begins in the heart of a loving father that goes in search of a race of people that don't know that love. And so Jesus is the word of love, and he lays down his life. He shows us what love is. And now he said, I've shown you, I've spoken the word, I've offered myself to you. Now what's your answer?
Absolutely. And we can pick up on that theme because it's a reoccurring theme in Scripture. Again, Paul picks up on it in Romans chapter 5. He says, God shows his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this is Jesus at the end of his life. He's already died. He's already risen from the dead. He's now in his resurrected body. His project is nearing completion as far as emptying his love on the world. And he said, now when I started this project, we were at war. Yeah. You were a sinner, and you had no love for me. And I have come despite that, and I have just loved you anyway. Yeah. And I have loved you in season and out. I have lived for you. I have died for you. I have risen for you. And now, Peter, after all of this, after I've given you this love, do you love me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's this powerful moment that this is the act of Christianity. It's not that we love him. It's that he first loved us and renders us capable of finally loving him in response.
Yeah. And being able to receive that into our hearts. It's hard for human beings, I think, to receive it. I think about the character of Peter. I often see him in that boat, and he knows the last time he saw Jesus, what did he do? He betrayed him, right? And he saw him crucified, probably, right? Yeah. And so there he is. He's in the boat. He's probably not very happy with himself. He's probably ashamed of himself. He feels guilty. The moment came, and what did I do? What did I do? And all of a sudden, they see him in the distance. They're not sure who it is, but at a certain point, someone says, it's the Lord. I often imagine Peter just dropping the net and just jumping out of the boat and running, and he just wants to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. And he's conscious of his guilt, and he's conscious of his shame and how he failed. And that's what we're like. That's what we're like. And we're running, and he's stumbling onto the beach, and he sees Jesus. He says, Jesus, you know, and he starts to repent, and Jesus stops him. Peter, do you love me? But Lord, but no, Peter, do you love me? Right? Just receive my love. I know who you are, Peter. Yeah. I know your weakness. I've come to heal it. Just love me. Come with me, and I'll make you new.
And what's so important is, in some ways, we talked about this during the break, is that he actually calls him Simon.
Yeah.
And that's because that's his name before he changed it. You can imagine after the denial, Peter's walking around, and every time somebody says, hey, Peter, he's like, oh, don't call me that. Yeah. That's the name Jesus gave me, and I betrayed my master. But and Peter meets Jesus, and Jesus comes back and says, look, I'm willing to start all over again. Simon, let's start at the beginning. I just love you.
Yeah.
I'm here. We're having breakfast. Made you breakfast.
Yeah.
You're a fisherman. I cooked the fish for you. Yeah. Simon, I love you. Do you love me? And then what? Then feed my sheep. In other words, I still want you. You're still my guy. Yeah. I want you to pasture my flock. And that a wonderful ability for Jesus to reach out to us, even when we stumbled, and to raise us up again, and then to call us. What I'm looking for is not your mere obedience. I'm looking for your heart.
Yeah.
I want the obedience, but I want it to flow from a love that you had to receive from me first. Yeah. What a gift that
is. Yeah, and Peter, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I've forgiven you, and I can forgive you 70 times, seven times a day. You know, the Scripture's clear about it. And Paul talks about how what Jesus died and rose again so that he could give to us the Holy Spirit, which is the love of the Father and the Son poured into our hearts. He said, literally, God's love has been poured into our hearts, and God, you know, tenderizes our hearts. God heals our hearts. God empowers our hearts and make us capable to love the Lord the way the Lord deserves to be loved.
And what's beautiful, the biblical scholars will tell us that actually Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? He's using a very deep form of love. Do you agape me?
Yeah.
And Peter's response is, I'm a friendly love, because he's humbled.
Yeah.
But what's beautiful is that Jesus isn't done with Peter even here. He's going to work with him for the rest of Peter's life, because finally Peter does go where he didn't want to go. He lays his life down for the Lord. His love is rendered perfect. He's martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And God wants to work in your heart and mine and all of our hearts. He wants to reach to us and say, I'm willing to love you right where you are, right as you are, but I won't leave you there.
Yeah.
I want to make you into something amazing, a man or woman who is capable of loving me with a heart that's been completely transformed. Brian?
Wow, Curtis and Peter. I mean, we tease these guys a lot, but that's one of my favorite scenes from Scripture. And I've never heard it opened up quite that way. That was awesome.
I got to tip my hat to the boys. That was good. And we're going to show it personally down here in the red zone.
And there's no love in the red zone.
Yes.
So we're going there next.
Exactly. All right.
We've reached the red zone on Crossing the Goal in our series of the things that Jesus said that really provoke thought in us. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Love for guys is kind of a difficult concept because it's kind of skewed in wrong ways or different ways. Coach, this is an uncomfortable question for men.
It is uncomfortable for a lot of guys because maybe they don't understand it. Plus, the love that they received here down on earth, maybe from their earthly fathers a lot of time, might not be the greatest. But I reflected back in my life and I said, do I really love the Lord? Mm-hmm. And I would think about that, and I would come to the conclusion, conditionally I did. When things were going good, yeah. I loved the Lord. When things start turning a little sour, I would get aggravated, impatient, or whatever. And then I've noticed that when I sinned, it separated me from the love, whether His love to me or my love to Him. I decided that I wasn't going to love Him because sin is going away from the love of God. Yeah. So when I did change my life over a period of time, that's what we got to say, God, this is not a quick fix deal, that I had to come to the conclusion that I really did love the Lord once I knew Him yeah. personally, that I loved Him.
But you just wanted to clarify something. God's love for you never changed, even though you fell, right?
He was always,
His love was still passionate and consistent.
Peter, in the middle of my sinning, He wasn't somewhere else. Yeah. He was right there.
Yeah.
Danny.
Yeah.
Danny, do you understand that I love you? You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but I didn't know. Yeah. I knew I was offending Him.
Yeah.
And after you do that enough, it's like when we offend somebody down here on earth, what do? We want to apologize eventually. Mm-hmm. That I had to apologize and invite the Lord deeper into my mm-hmm. life. Open the heart up and allow Him to come in.
Yeah, that's good.
That's when the transformation started taking place.
And even deeper than apologizing, I like the term making amends, because amend yes. means to change.
Yes.
So when we make amends to somebody, it's more than saying I'm sorry. It means I'm going to do this differently from here on out.
Let me add something to this that I think that's really important. Just because God loves us and we love Him back, that we don't get a free ride from that point on, that we have to continue our life, that I still, and all of us do, trials, tribulations, suffering still come our way. But when we have that unconditional love, that means to trust too. I trust in God's love, that He knows what's best for me, that He's going to give me the strength to cope what I'm doing with. And I have to know that He loves me that much, that He's going to allow me to go through this, mm-hmm. and He's with me every step of the way. And I do sense that. Now, it's, as I said again, it's over the long haul. It's not a one-shot deal.
No, there's a saying that Christianity is free, but it's never been cheap. And I think it's a free gift. It's given
yes.
to us. But once it is given to us, it's an all-in proposition.
Right.
Jesus is all in. He's given all that He has, gave His entire life. And He's calling us to return that because that's how we live in love. You exchange lives.
Right.
And that's the power of it. Now, for me, this setting gives me such hope. I've been at this trying to follow the Lord for almost 30 years as an adult. Gave my life to Christ in my 20s, and I'm now in my early 50s. And so I'm in the midst of all that. God has done amazing things, and I'm so grateful for the many blessings. But it's also very real to me that I still have huge junk in my heart. There's still radical brokenness. And the fact that Jesus is the type of God who will come back to Peter or to me or to you and say, all right, I'm still here. Now let's get up and let's get going again. Are you with me? I'm after your heart. Do you love me?
Right.
All right, let's go. And I, in my feeble way, sit back and say, yeah, of course I love you. I mean, really badly, really in a very weak form sometimes, but you're it for me. I still plant my flag there. It's just I'm so weak in my effort to follow Him.
I mean, I think it's hard for human beings to love, period. I think it's
yes.
particularly hard for men to receive love, this kind of love. You know, you say, well, it feels awkward to talk about it.
Yeah.
You say, Danny, I really love you, brother. You
yeah.
know, and to say, unless we become, one of the reasons it's hard for men, I think, is because it's hard for us to be vulnerable. It's hard for us to open ourselves up. It's hard for us to realize I'm standing completely naked before God in the sense that He knows everything about me and He still loves me. I want to clean myself up. I want to say, okay, have I done enough good stuff?
Yeah.
Have I done enough? Oh, then I feel at this moment, okay, because the scales are balancing out. You know what I mean? I've done enough positive things. Now I can feel okay about coming into God's presence. That just totally misses the point because I'm afraid to be seen and I don't believe I can be loved just exactly as I am. And so we put on masks, we put on, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Don't
yeah.
you do that? It makes absolutely. It so hard. And Jesus just, sometimes I think the Lord's so frustrated. I love you.
Just the way you are.
Just take the mask off. Yeah. Just let me love you. And that love will heal your heart.
Yeah, I have to give myself to the Lord, the good and the bad, and say, Lord, I know that you could take me as I am and make something really good out of me. Please do that. But you're right, we can't just present what we think is our good side and keep the shadow over here.
He doesn't just love the TV, Peter, or the TV, Danny Abramowitz, or Curtis, who have all the right answers on, you know, in the game plan and everything. He loves the messy, yucky, screwed up, broken person that we are.
Which is the bigger part of the
Right.
We're on TV very, very small amount of our life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're talking about, we have a hard time accepting God's love. We can't give it back to Him until we accept His love first. I think a good thing to do, and I don't know if you guys ever thought of it this way, is if you would just out there, men, just go before a crucifix and then think about this. If I told you or someone told that I'd give my life up for you, or someone would give their life up, did give their life up for you, what would you do? You would love them and respect them. What can I do for them? Well, that's what He's done for each of us. To reflect on the crucifix, He has died for each and every one of us. Every one of us.
Yeah.
All He's asking in return is our love.
Yeah.
That's it. Because once we do that, our life's going to change, and we're going to follow His ways because He's given His life for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the apostles, each one of them ended up doing that, other than John, who lived to an old age. And I love the way in the game plan you talked about how originally Peter responded with filial love versus agape, but eventually he reached that place
where he truly loved. That was pretty comfortable. What did you say?
I was listening.
You said what?
Filial.
We're going
What does that mean? You're going Greek on us.
What's going on? Brotherly love.
Okay.
You know, another thing we can do too, guys, to feel that God's love is if you love somebody, like I love my wife, you know, so much.
Yeah. You married up, dude.
I love you so much.
So if, and I think about her a lot. I got to say this, that I do love the Lord so much. I do think about Him a lot of times, you know, in the car. I think a lot in situations I try to do, even though I am broken, like you said, fallen, sinful, do all these things, I know that He still loves me. And I just ask all the time, forgiveness, Lord, I love you. I don't want to do this. Help me in this situation. Just little things like that. That's prayer, guys.
Yeah, and what He's doing is He's putting His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I just want to read this passage from Revelation here as we come to the end of this red zone. This is Revelation chapter 12, and said, and they have conquered Him. Who's that? Those who followed Him, the martyrs, those who died. And they have conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. And Jesus produced in them exactly what He showed in His own life. And He's saying, I can do that in you, Brian, and you, Peter, and you, Danny. I will do that if you just let me do it.
What about me?
Curtis, he's already doing it to you.
So I think what we should do then is pray for our brothers and sisters out there. And why don't you lead us?
I'd love to. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Father God, You've surrounded us by such a great cloud of witnesses. From Peter, who is weak faith, was made strong by Your continual love throughout his life. And we're coming to You, Father, as men of weak faith, and we're asking that You would strengthen our hearts so that we could love, so that we could be like those great men and women who went before us, men and women who could love You even to the end, men and women who could love You to the point where we're not even afraid to die for You, and therefore we would be joyful to live for You. Help us, Lord, to have a radical faith, a faith that doesn't just affect the way we behave on Sunday mornings, Lord, but a faith that would impact every aspect of our life, every relationship that we have, every decision that we make, so that You, Lord, would be Lord of every aspect of our life, that we would love You with our decisions, that we would love You with our words, that we would love You with our lives, so that we could be with You forever. We pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen.
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 In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
thanks,
and the Holy
Chris.
Spirit.
Amen.
Beautiful prayer. We will wrap up our show on Do You Love Me and the Jesus Said series from the End Zone next here on Crossing the Ground. We have crossed the goal, reaching the end zone on this show on Do You Love Me, in the series of the things that Jesus said that really get us thinking. And if you have benefited, like I have, from the wonderful teaching, especially from Peter and Curtis in the Game Plan, and just the whole conversation about these things that Jesus said, you might want to know that we have really great resources for your small group at crossingthegoal.com, Coach.
Yes, you can go to our website, www.crossinggoal.com. Guys, listen, I've done a video talking about small groups. We see the importance. Think about this last series we just did and the series before this. Powerful. Don't you want to share that with other people? Go to our website and click on workout groups, and you can get one started in your parish.
Guys, he's the coach, and we got to recognize, this is he's telling us, if you got a better game plan, then do it. But you don't. Yeah. Guys coming up, it's all over the country, they come up and say, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. This is the coach, he knows what he's talking about. So dial in, see what's going on, get something started. Once you've got some guys together, you're praying together, God will show you how to change the world, because he'll start changing you first.
Ditto.
Yep. And you can get all of the Crossing the Goal resources, the videos and the books that we have through EWTNReligiousCatalog.com. And if you are using these resources in your small group, we would love to hear from you. And you might hear your email right here on Crossing the Goal. Go to EWTN.com and email us. And also, again, you can join, you can get all the resources through EWTNReligiousCatalog.com. Now, the last word on Do You Love Me, Peter?
Thanks, Brian. This might be the simplest challenge I've ever given, but I think it might be the most important one. I want to challenge you. Every morning when you wake up, begin your day with this. Just say, Jesus, I love you. He loves to hear those words. Jesus, say his name. Jesus, I love you.
Great word, great challenge. Gentlemen, right here in these pages, this is the gospel. The four gospels right there. This is short reading right there. My invitation to you is pick up a Bible and read the Gospels. You will begin to look at the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And if you prayerfully approach him on a daily basis as you read them, you will encounter Jesus Christ. You will meet him and he will begin to change your life. Read the Gospels.
You heard what these two guys said. The first thing I want you to do, though, is start tonight. Go in your room, lay down with your face to the carpet on the ground, sprawled out, and say to yourself and listen, do you love me, Bob, Danny, Tom, whatever your name is? And you have to answer it. Do you love me? Do you, Lord's asking me, do you love me? And guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel it in your heart that the love of God's going to come into you. Sprawl out, open yourself up to him, and let him come in.
Thank Amen. You, Coach, Curtis, Amen. And Peter. Just one thought I'll add that I learned is to love the Lord is to obey. That is what I had to learn. I want to love the Lord, and I know that if I obey his commands, that is the way that I love him. I challenge you to do that the same. Thank you for joining us for this series on the challenging and thought-provoking sayings of Jesus from Holy Scripture. Thanks to the Crossing the Goal team, and we'll see you next time here on Crossing the Goal.